So we get to hear the story of the birth of the church from the book of Acts. Now, it had been 10 days, and they were still waiting. When we meet the disciples at the beginning of today's scripture reading in the book of Acts, we discover that it has been 10 days since Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus' ascension was the concluding act of a 40-day journey that began when he emerged from the tomb. After Jesus' resurrection, the main focus of his ministry was trying to convince the disciples that he really had been raised from the dead, that God really did have the power to overcome death with life, that the promises of eternal life really were true. The book of Acts tells us that Jesus presented himself alive to the disciples by many convincing proofs. And right before he left them again, right before he was lifted up to heaven, Jesus instructed his followers to return to Jerusalem and to wait there for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And so the waiting game began. The disciples sat in the upper room and did as Jesus asked of them. They waited for God's promises to be fulfilled and for the Spirit to be given. They waited as one day turned into two, and 2 days into three, and three into four. And I wonder when maybe the doubt started to creep in, when they started asking themselves whether they'd missed it somehow, whether the Holy Spirit had arrived and they just hadn't noticed. I wonder if there was anyone at the edge of the crowd who started to mutter that maybe they should just give up. Maybe they should just leave and fade back into their lives. Maybe they should go back to doing what they had always done before they knew about Jesus. But then suddenly everything changed and the church was born. So listen for the word of God in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I don't know how many of you might have seen that we were in the news this week. This is the headline from the front page of the local section of the Patriot Ledger. It reads, Church thanks nurses by donating gift bags. In the article, reporter Jessica Trufant tells the story of our church's Lenten offering and how we ended up providing 2,000 gift bags for frontline workers at South Shore Hospital. We finally had the chance to give out those gift bags this past Monday. And friends, I want you to know that all the generosity and love and gratitude that you poured into those gift bags truly made a difference to those who received them. The nurses who came down to pick up the gift bags for their units were overwhelmed, and not just by the smell of thousands of wintergreen mints that we had put in all of those gift bags. They were overwhelmed that we would take the time and make the effort to say thank you to them. So friends, our Lenten project is complete, and I would say it was a complete success. And I think it's fitting that we celebrate this on Pentecost Sunday. During confirmation class yesterday, we were talking about the Holy Spirit and giving examples of how we see the Holy Spirit at work in the world. And I told the class that this gift bag project for South Shore Hospital was only possible because the power of the Spirit was at work in and through our church. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired the very first conversation we had about those gift bags. That conversation happened at a Board of Missions meeting back in January. There was excitement and energy that built as we talked about doing something with this year's Lenten offering that would have a direct impact on those who have been serving on the front lines of the pandemic. And it seemed natural that we would do something for our neighbors right across the street at South Shore Hospital. We knew other businesses and organizations had sponsored food trucks or sent pizza. We wanted to do something a little different. So we threw out the idea of putting together gift bags of some sort. We didn't even know yet what we were going to put in them. We reached out to the hospital to see how many gift bags we would need, and we got an answer. You remember, it was 1,500 to 1,800, depending on the day we handed them out. And that was a big number. It was bigger than we expected. So we took a deep breath, And board chair Bill Ramsey reminded us to trust that our God of abundance would provide what we needed. And so we put that number out to the congregation. We asked you first to help us raise $7,500 for 1,500 gift bags. And we were prepared. We were prepared to be satisfied with however much we raised, with however many gift bags we could put together, even if we didn't hit that goal. But you all came through in amazing ways. We blazed past $7,500 and hit the $10,000 mark, and then we kept going. We ended up raising $11,000 for this year's Lenten offering. $11,000. So we were able to put together not 1,500, not even 1,800, but 2,000 gift bags for frontline workers at South Shore Hospital. And the extra money that we raised allowed us to cover all the other supplies that we needed, the gift bags themselves, the tissue paper, all of those lifesaver mints. But there was another challenge, because 2,000 gift bags meant we needed 2,000 handwritten thank you notes to put in each one of those gift bags. And again, you all stepped up in amazing ways, because we ended up with way more than 2,000 thank you notes. There were so many notes to share our congregation's love and gratitude with those who have worked tirelessly over the past year to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. And truly, none of this would have been possible without the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our midst, helping us do more than we could ever have imagined. Now, from beginning to end, the scriptures offer wonderful stories of how God's Spirit is at work in us. Genesis tells the story of how God formed and fashioned us from the dust of the earth and then breathed into us the breath, the spirit of life. Ezekiel tells of his vision of a valley of dry bones that come to life again as the spirit is breathed into them. Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection, breathing upon them his peace. And in the scripture reading we heard today, we remember how the Holy Spirit appeared in wind and flame, blessing the first disciples and birthing the early church. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the ways in which the Spirit is blessing us and bringing new life into the world through us. Because that is what it means to be church. It means that we are blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just for our own good, but for the good of the world. And the Spirit is bringing new life into our midst, not just for our own good, but for the good of the world. Friends, the Holy Spirit is at work in our midst in powerful ways these days. And maybe you are tired of hearing me say it, but I'm going to say it again, because I truly believe that what we do together here at Old South matters. It matters not just for ourselves, but for the world. We live in a time when fewer and fewer people see a need for church in their lives. We live in a world where it is easy to become numb to the horror of violence and death. We live in a country that is more and more divided, and where those divisions are causing heartache and despair. We live in a community where people are still homeless and children still go hungry. And so it can be easy to think that what we do here at Old South will never be enough. It will never be enough to make a difference in the world. But if what happened at South Shore Hospital on Monday is any indication, what we do here together matters. Now, as we talked about the Holy Spirit in confirmation class yesterday, I was reminded of something else. It's something I say to every confirmation class to help them understand the power of the Spirit and the importance of the church. I tell them this: the Holy Spirit's true home is in community. The Holy Spirit's true home is in community, which means we need each other. We need each other to have the fullest experience of the Holy Spirit. As we make our way to the other side of the pandemic, we will also make our way back to church and to each other, and that is good news because we need each other. We need the gifts God has given each of us in order for our church to grow. We need the faith God has given each of us in order for our church to thrive. Friends, we are at our best as a church when we are together. Think not only of the South Shore Hospital gift bags, but of the Holy Week gift bags and the Advent gift bags that we put together and handed out and delivered this past year. Those projects were only possible because we did them together. And think of the pop-up pantry we've now been hosting in partnership with the Weymouth Food Pantry for 5 years. That ministry is only possible because we do it together. And think of the food pantry garden. You have to stop by and see what the garden angels did yesterday to get the garden ready for our third growing season. It looks amazing. And it will provide an abundant harvest of fresh produce for our food pantry clients. And that will only be possible because we will keep working together to make that happen. And when you stop at the church to look at the garden, you will notice that there is a new picnic table that has made its home under the big tree near the garden shed. And you will see that that new picnic table is bright red, like fire engine red. It really stands out. You cannot miss it. And I love it because it's the color of the Holy Spirit. I love that we now have this reminder of the Spirit's presence, not within the walls of the church, but outside in the world. May that picnic table be a reminder that the Holy Spirit works in and through us. Again, not just for our own good, but for the good of the whole world. So friends, as we make our way back to each other over the next few months, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to be at work in us in powerful ways. Yes, for our sake, but also for the sake of the world. May our worship and our fellowship, may our giving and our serving, may our Bible studies and our summer small groups and our youth group meetings and camp, may our praying and our planning and our dreaming, may all that we say and do here in this place and out in the world, may it all bear witness to the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we always remember that what we do here, what we do together, it truly matters. Thanks be to God. Amen.